Okay, so we're going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and for some reason I put verses 1 to 6 and I've put 1 to 5. I'm not sure why I did that, but that's right. I'll read from here in case I've done something strange. So, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to something. Okay, it begins with, and in Hebrews, by the way, it's called Hebrews because it's written to Hebrews. In other words, Jewish people, and they're Jewish people who became Christians. They became Christians around about 50, 60 AD, and at the time there was a person in charge in Rome by the name of Nero. You've probably heard of Nero. He was not a nice character. He started off very well. He's a bit like Henry the Sixth, Eighth, or whatever he was. He started off really well, but then he became a bit of a not so nice person, and he decided that he would blame his political troubles on the Christians. You know, when politicians get in trouble, they look around for someone to blame. Well, Nero had this new sect in Rome who were Christians, and so he decided he would start persecuting them. He'd say, all the troubles are because there's Christians in Rome, and he started to do nasty things like rounding up Christians, impaling them on stakes, drenching them in bitumen, and then setting them alight to light his garden at night. He was not a nice person. And so these were Jewish Christians. At the time, you were allowed to be a Jew, but you were not allowed to be a Christian. So Jewish Christians started to think, maybe if we said we were Jews and not Christians, we would not be persecuted. And so some of them started to go back to what the Jews used to do with having a temple and priests and sacrifices and so on. So the person who wrote this letter to the Jewish Christians is saying, look, don't go back to where you were. Jesus has come. Now that Jesus has come, you don't need all of that, because if you go back to that, eventually you're going to lose Jesus. And in this part, he's explaining what a high priest is, or what a priest was. And he's going to go on from that and say, Jesus is now the priest that you need. So we'll take it up here in chapter 5. And he says, every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honour to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Aaron was the first of the high priests in Israel 1,500 years before this. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was God who said to him, you are a priest forever. I think I've just jumped a bit there, just so we keep it all together. Okay, that's all right. Do I have the conch? No. What do I do? Aha. Excellent. Okay, so we're looking at knowing Jesus. We're looking at Jesus as our priest. Many years ago, in another life, in a galaxy far, far away, I worked as a civil engineer. It was on Earth. As a civil engineer, mostly I was in the office, and I had an overseer who worked with me, and he's the one who went out in the field and did what I said, mostly. And we got on well, very well, in fact, until one day he came into the office and I said to him I was leaving. I had only been in that particular job for a couple of years, and over that time, we'd gotten used to each other. We'd worked out how each other thought, and we'd learned to work well together. So it kind of threw him to think, oh, no, not another engineer leaving. I'm going to have to get another engineer in, and I'm going to have to train him all over again. Until I told him that I was leaving engineering altogether and I was going to go into the ministry. And then his eyes lit up and he looked really excited. He was a Catholic. He was old enough to be my father. And he looked at me with paternal admiration. He said, wow, that's great. If my son told me he was going to become a priest, I would be thrilled. I tried to explain to him I wasn't going to become a priest, but I don't think he understood. In fact, I don't think most people understand what it means to be a priest. I have a brother who is a priest. I suspect you have no idea what I'm talking about. One thing, some of you don't know my brother. For another thing, when I tell you he's a priest, you probably think that. You see, this is nothing like what the Bible means by a priest. This is not the sort of priest my brother is. And for that matter, you're probably not thinking about who my brother really is. The popular idea of a priest, at least until recent years when so many scandals rocked people's idea of what a priest is, but until recently, you know, you can pick up old movies and read books and stories, and most people you would think would have the impression that if they saw a priest, they were seeing almost what God himself is like. At very least, they saw a priest as being God's representative here upon this earth. The chief priest in the Roman Catholic system is called the Pope. The Pope calls himself the Vicar of Christ. The word vicar means someone who is in the place of another. To claim to be the Vicar of Christ is to claim that you are in the place of Christ. And that's how many people see what a priest is. They see him as someone who is in the place of Christ. At very least, he is God's representative here upon this earth. Okay, let's see what the Bible says a real priest is. We're going to go back to this reading, and I'm going to take you through these verses again. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins, and no man takes this honour to himself, but he is called by God. That's what the Bible says a priest is. Let's go through that. So the first thing it says there is that he is taken from among men. So, you know, right amongst all these people, somewhere there, God would find a priest. He's nothing special in that sense. He's just a man like you and me. Well, a person, a human like you and me. He's just like, let's see, what about this guy here? Okay? He is appointed for men. So God just picks a human being out and he says, I'm appointing him as a priest. That means the priest is someone who represents other human beings. He's a human being who represents other human beings. A priest does not represent God. That's not his function. That's more the function of a prophet. You know, last week we were hearing about a prophet. A prophet represents God. A prophet is God's representative here upon the earth. He is God's ambassador. Just as an ambassador represents his king or his government, so a prophet represents God. The prophet wasn't there to give his own message. He was there to speak only what God told him to say. He was there to represent God. The priest, on the other hand, represents men. He's taken from among men. He's there to represent men. He's appointed for men. The priest is the representative of men and women. He's not there to represent God. He's there to represent men. Okay, although the priest is there to represent men, he's there to carry out a special work for God. He's taken from among men, he's appointed for men in things pertaining to God. So here he is, whatever it is, his work is directed towards God. He focuses on God. That's the opposite of a prophet. Okay, a prophet represents God and he comes with a message to men and women. A priest is taken from men and women and he has a work which is directed toward God. So what sort of work are we talking about? It was a work that is directed towards God. Somehow, some way, the priest was used of God to help men and women go to God. Okay, big problem. We're all sinners. The Bible says that we can't approach God because of our sin. And this is where the work of the priest becomes vitally important, because he is there to offer sacrifices for sin. That's what he's there for. He's there to offer up a sacrifice on behalf of the sins of all those that he represents. So we're the ones that commit sin. God is the one who's offended by our sin. God is the one who must be satisfied. Our sins offend God. They make us the enemies of God. God is the one who must be appeased, or we will forever remain the enemies of God. And back in Old Testament times, when God required a sacrifice, he had the priest choose a lamb, and the lamb was put upon the altar and offered up as a sacrifice for sins, or sometimes a goat or sometimes a calf. So this priest represented all the people coming to God by offering up a lamb for their sins. Without that lamb, their sins would never be forgiven, and they would remain forever the enemies of God. God would not be appeased. And you don't want to be the enemy of God. Trust me, you don't want to be the enemy of God. So how did this person become a priest? How did this guy become a priest? Who chose the priest? The Bible says, no man takes this honour to himself, but only he who is called of God. God said, this is the one I want to be a priest. No one could decide he wanted to be a priest. No one could go to priest school, and then that's priest school, sorry. No one could go to priest school and then graduate and say, okay, I'm going to be a priest now. It says, no one takes this honour to himself, only he who is called by God. God decides who'll be a priest and who won't. Now, one other thing I want you to think about here is this, and that is, I want you to notice something. You'll notice that the priest here looks pretty much like everyone else. In fact, he looks exactly like someone else. Anyway, I had to. He looks exactly like this guy over here, doesn't he? Okay, so he just looks like everyone else. And that tells you something. It's because he is like everyone else. The priest is just a regular character, just like you and me. The Bible says because he's a regular character, just like you and me, he can empathise with people, just like you and me. The Bible says he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. The priest understands you and me because he is you and me. Because he is you and me, though he's also a sinner like you and me, and because he is a sinner like you and me, he needs to be forgiven for his sins. And so the Bible says, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. Okay, the priest is a sinner like you and me, and therefore he needs to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins as well as for the sins of others. Okay, so let's sum all that up. And this is what the Bible says. A priest, a real priest, he's taken from among men. He's appointed for men. He represents men. But his work focuses on God, and in particular, he's there to offer sacrifices for sin. Because he is a man, he has to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. But this means that he can really empathise with sinners like you and me. And most importantly, he must be called to this work by God himself. That sums up what the Bible says about what a priest is. And what this means is this. There are no priests in the world today. There are no priests in the world today. No one born in the last 2,000 years is a priest, not a real priest. Now, yes, I know there are thousands of people in the Roman Catholic Church that claim to be priests, but they're not real priests because they fail this one great test. Has God appointed them? No, he hasn't. The Bible says God has not appointed anyone as a priest in the last 2,000 years. The Bible says you've got to be appointed by God to be a priest. There are hundreds of thousands of priests in hundreds of different religions throughout the world today, but they all fail this crucial test. Has God appointed them? No, he hasn't. The Bible says no one takes this honour to himself but he who is called by God. The Bible says God has not called anyone to be a priest in the last 2,000 years. So, what about my older brother? Can he be a real priest? Well, if I was talking about my brother who lives here in Brisbane, who's a couple of years older than me, the answer is no. God never appointed my 69-year-old brother to be a priest. But that's not the older brother I'm talking about. I'm talking about my other older brother, who is Jesus. Remember a while ago we were looking at what the Bible says about Jesus, and it says Jesus is our older brother. At least he is your older brother if you believe in him. If you've put your trust in him, he is your older brother. If you have put your trust in Jesus, God adopts you into his family, and Jesus, who is God's natural son, automatically becomes your older brother. So yes, Jesus is God. You know, we saw that in this series that we're looking at. But when Jesus came to this earth, he also became fully human, fully God, fully human, that is Jesus. Now, because he is fully human, we can say, yes, he has been taken from among men. He has been appointed for men. He represents men. More importantly, though, he has been appointed by God. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 to 6, no man takes this honour to himself, but he who is called by God. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are a priest forever. He who said to him, God who said to him, you are a priest forever. God said to Jesus, you are a priest forever. God has appointed Jesus as a priest. Jesus is the last priest that God ever appointed, and that was 2,000 years ago. There is no other priest that God has appointed since then. That brings us to the whole sacrifice thing, because the work of a priest was to offer up a sacrifice for sins, for our sins. You remember how up till the time Jesus came, every priest that God appointed was himself a sinner. And therefore, the priest, first of all, had to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins. He couldn't offer up a sacrifice for other people's sins until he offered up a sacrifice for his own sin. Now, Jesus is the first and the last priest not to have to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins, because he didn't have any sins. He was sinless. But as a priest, he is required to offer up sacrifice for the sins of those he represents. And it was here that Jesus did something that no other priest ever did. Now, until Jesus came, the sacrifices the priests offered up were a lamb or a goat or a calf. The priests slaughtered the lamb, and then he offered up that upon the altar for the sins of the people. Now, when Jesus came and he began his earthly ministry, he was spotted by one of God's prophets, one of the last prophets. And when the prophet saw Jesus, he immediately cried out, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that means that when Jesus came, he not only came to offer a sacrifice for our sins, he came to be the sacrifice for our sins. So in Hebrews chapter 9, it says this: Christ came as high priest, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption. Okay, redemption just means that you pay the price to be forgiven for your sins. So Christ, as our priest, secured redemption. He secured forgiveness by offering up a sacrifice. But in his case, the sacrifice he offered up was himself. It was with his own blood. Now, that's the work of Jesus as a priest. That's what our older brother obtained for us. Because he is our older brother, because he is your older brother, if you've trusted him, because he is our older brother, he knows exactly what you and I go through. Remember, the priest had to be a man, he had to be someone like you and me. And it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2, that he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Now, Jesus is not a sinner like you and me. That's not his weakness. But he is human like you and me, and he experienced all the weaknesses that we as humans experience apart from sin. So he really does understand you and me. He's fully human. That's the work of Jesus as a priest. Okay, let me wrap this up. And I want to wrap this up by really stressing two really important truths you have to understand about Jesus as a priest. So if you don't remember anything else from tonight, please remember this. Number one, there are no other priests. Jesus is the last priest that God has appointed. His sacrifice is the last and now the only sacrifice that God accepts to forgive sinners. Okay, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Jesus does not need daily, as those other high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus did this once for all. This sacrifice is never going to be repeated. There are no more priests since Jesus, because there's no more need for sacrifice for sins. This is the only sacrifice that can take away sins. The other thing I want you to really remember tonight is this: Jesus' sacrifice for sins is only for those that he represented. Okay, in the Old Testament, the priests were appointed by God to offer up a sacrifice for the sins of those they represented. And that meant basically, well, it meant only God's people. There were pretty much no one outside of God's, well, no one outside of God's people, pretty much no one outside of Israel was ever forgiven. So if the sacrifice is only for those that the priest represents, you've got to think, well, whom does Jesus represent? Does Jesus, the priest, represent you? Was his sacrifice offered up for your sins? You know, the only way you can know whether that's so or not is if you trust in Jesus. The only way you can know if Jesus represents you, if he is your priest, and if his sacrifice forgives your sins, is if you repent of your sins and if you put your trust in Jesus. Apart from that, you can't know. So please, you know, I plead with every one of you here tonight. Trust in Jesus. Repent of your sins, because there is no other priest that God has appointed, and there is no other sacrifice that God accepts in the whole world.